Well, for our scripture reading today, turn to the book of Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. All right, out of respect for the Word of God, let's stand together as I begin reading with verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchreae, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also.
This is our 11th sermon this summer, looking into the shadows of the great Apostle Paul, studying the lives and character of the men and women that were his fellow laborers in the Lord's work. We studied Silas and Luke and Timothy, Aquila and Priscilla and Epaphras, Ananias and Barnabas and John Mark, Epaphroditus and Titus. Most of those were men, obviously. Paul was a widower, single man traveling, and most of his companions were men. But there were also many women who served with Paul and helped Paul. And one we've already discussed, which was Priscilla. And this morning we're going to become better acquainted with a godly woman, a faithful servant named Phoebe. And I've given her the title, a helper of many. In Romans 16, Paul sent his salutations to a large number of fellow believers in the Church of Rome, calling them out by name and usually including some little personal tidbit about their relationship and service together and their service to Christ. And in this chapter, we see that Paul loved people deeply and that he cared about those that he had served with and that he remembered them and gave them their moment in the spotlight as he finished off the great epistle to the Romans. In this series of messages, which will probably end in the next couple of weeks, we're not going to get to such Christian servants as Adronicus and Junia and Amplius and Apelles and others mentioned in this chapter. But I imagine it must have been quite a thrill to be sitting in the Church of Rome as this epistle was read for the first time and as Paul dealt with all the great subjects of justification and sanctification and God's providential plan for the world and the great truths of the Christian life. And then at the very end, to be sitting there and hear your name called out as Paul said, salute this brother, salute this person, salute this sister. And you can imagine how that might have thrilled your soul to hear your name called out as we find in Romans 16. Yet Phoebe is distinct from this long list of 28 names because she was not from Rome, but rather had come from Paul to Rome, perhaps even bearing this epistle. She was from the suburb called Cenchreae, which was next to Corinth. It was a port city. And she was not being saluted as a member of the Roman church, but commended as a member of the Cenchreae church who had come to Rome on business. And so part of the epistle to Romans was a brief letter of commendation on Phoebe's behalf, introducing her to the church and asking the church to help her in her business in the city. You know, back then, if you want to know who someone was, you couldn't just pull up their Facebook profile. And so when people would travel long distances, they would often carry a letter of commendation from someone that the person they were traveling to knew so that it would act as an introduction. And by the way, missionaries still do that today. You ever wonder how we come up with the missionaries that come to our church, like the missionaries that are coming tonight? As independent Baptists, we're not part of any convention that sends them to us or that we ask to send to us. But rather, the missionaries contact us. They ask us if it'd be possible to come to our church while they're in the area. And they always will either call or email and send with that a letter of recommendation from their home pastor, their home church, and probably someone that I would know. And so it's still in practice today because, hey, I don't know Nate and Kate Nichols. And so who do I know? How do I know that they're in the ministry? How do I know that they're doctrinally sound unless I have some letter of commendation accompanying them so that I can have confidence in them. And so they did this all the time back in the first century. And Phoebe coming to Rome came with this mention of commendation to the Romans concerning Phoebe. Now, Phoebe is mentioned only in these two verses. She's not mentioned in Acts. She's not mentioned in any other epistle. She's not mentioned in Corinthians. And yet she is a very interesting person. She's also a very misunderstood person concerning her responsibilities in the church, or rather what her responsibilities were not. There are some who teach great errors concerning Phoebe, and those who preach the truth must also illustrate the errors that are taught so that the truth will be clearer and more evident. This morning we're going to become better acquainted with Sister Phoebe, and I almost called her the patron saint. I didn't want there to be any confusion. So we're going to call her the helper of many. Now notice in Romans 16 verses 1 and 2, we're going to find four important facts concerning Phoebe. Number one, Paul considered her his sister in the Lord. He said, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Now, she was not his blood sister. Paul was Jewish. Phoebe was Gentile. They did not have the same parents, and yet they had the same father. They had the same heavenly father because they'd both been saved. And when a person gets saved, they become part of a wonderful family. Amen? Become part of the family of God. And so Paul said, he didn't just say, she's my sister. He said, she's our sister. She's part of our family. And you have not met her, but you're related to her by the blood of Jesus Christ and by our Heavenly Father. In 1 Timothy 5, Paul described the relationships we have in the church. And he said, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. The younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. That's how we're supposed to treat each other inside the local church. Older men, you treat them like fathers. Amen? With respect. Don't treat them like you treated your father when you were a teenager. You treat them how you're supposed to treat your father when you were a teenager. With respect and consideration. The older women, you treat as your mother. And the younger men, you treat as your brothers. And the younger women, you treat as your sisters. And so I think that Phoebe was a younger woman. He didn't describe her as being like a mother, but more like a sister. And but we see that Phoebe was a saved woman. She had believed in Jesus Christ. She had been born again. She was redeemed. She was saved. And she was part of this wonderful family, the family of God. All right, notice the second fact about Phoebe. Phoebe was a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. See that in verse number 1. A servant of the church. Servant of the church. Now, it doesn't just say that she was a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, y'all believe the Bible says what it means and means what it says? It says she was a servant of the church. Now, there are some out there that say, well, I don't go to church and I don't have any church affiliation. I'm not a member of a church and I don't go to church, but I just serve Jesus. Well, I have read the New Testament many times and I don't really understand how we serve Jesus when we don't serve the church. The church is God's institution and God desires that every born-again person be a member of a local church and serving Him in the local church. So she was a servant of the church. And back home in Cenchrea, Phoebe was known for her love for Jesus Christ and her love for her church. She served Christ and she served in her church. She served her church. In what capacity? The Bible doesn't say. But she was a servant. She ministered. She helped. She was a part of what was going on. Now, here is where some misunderstand Scripture. Someone asked me about this, and so I want to clarify and make sure that we all understand what the Bible teaches on this subject, even though it is very unpopular in this day and time. And every preacher that stands in a pulpit and says that they preach the Word of God has to decide, am I concerned about being honest from the Scriptures, or am I concerned about being popular and accepted by the people? Do we want 21st century Christianity or do we want 1st century Christianity? Should I tell you what the Bible says or should I leave out the parts that some folks don't like? I decided a long time ago it's my job to preach what the Bible says and to be faithful to the Scriptures and not just to what is popular. Now, it's not popular what I'm going to say, but it's biblical what I'm going to say. Now, some would say that Phoebe was a deacon in the church. And people have asked me about that. In fact, in one of my Bibles, one little marginal note where it says a servant, it says deaconess. But the office of deaconess is not found in the New Testament. And the Bible is very clear that the deacon is to be the husband of one wife, that God Himself, as the head of the church and the owner of the church, has put some restrictions on the two offices of the church, which is the pastor and the deacons. And He has put a pretty major restriction by saying that each of them is to be the husband of one wife. Now, Phoebe wasn't the husband of one wife. Now, I don't like that these days. That's ancient history. Well, this book is not ancient, it's timeless. God is the one who decides how the church is run. I'm just telling you what the message says. Now, you say, well, it says a servant. And some have said, well, that Greek word there is diakonos, which is the same word for deacon. And that's absolutely true. When the office of deacon was instituted, they simply were called the servants of the church. The Greek word for servant is diakonos. But, get this, every servant is not a deacon, but every deacon is a servant. You see. She is not called a deacon. She's not called a deaconess. She's called a servant of the church. Brother Camp served the church this morning leading music. He was a servant of the church, but he's not a deacon. He's not in that office of deacon. There are ladies who served in the nursery this morning. They serve the church, but they're servants, but they are not deacons. And deacons serve, but not everyone who serves is a deacon. A pastor is a servant. But everyone who serves is not a pastor. The Bible has qualifications for the pastor. Now, like it or not, a lot of folks don't like it. They say that, you know, that this is a modern day and time. In fact, someone even quoted to me, you know, Galatians says that there's in Christ there's neither male nor female, nor bond nor free. And that's true. Aren't you glad that in salvation, which is what Galatians is talking about, there's not one plan of salvation for men, and one plan of salvation for women, and one plan of salvation for those who are free, and one plan of salvation for those who are bound, and one plan of salvation for those who are Jews, and one plan of salvation for those who are Gentiles. In Christ, there's neither male nor female, Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, but salvation is the same for all mankind, no matter what we are. But we're talking about two specific offices in the church, and they have restrictions. Not every man can be a deacon or a pastor either. People get upset about that. But we better be careful. See, God told Adam and Eve they could have all that they wanted in the Garden of Eden. All those trees and all those plants and all those vegetables and all the fruit that they could want. But there was one thing they could not have. And that's the one thing Eve couldn't get her eyes off of. That one thing she couldn't have. Got to be careful. When God puts restrictions in, He puts them in for a reason. And we must abide by what God has decided. Because only trouble comes when any of us get away from the Word of God and trespass in areas that God has restricted. She was not a deacon, she was not a pastor, but she was a servant of the church of Centuria. And she seems to have been perfectly happy to have been a servant of the church of Centuria. She had a reputation as a lady who served the Lord faithfully in her church. She was a church lady. My wife and her girls, they go out bus visiting all the time. You go bus visiting, knock on the door, little kid looks out the window. The church lady's here. If it's me, the church man is here. Amen. What's wrong with that? I want to be identified with the Lord's church. And she was also, and she was a member of the church, and she had a pastor, and she served under his ministry, and she served as part of his ministry. And she had a good testimony. such that the great Apostle Paul could say, Phoebe here, I commend her to you. She's here on business. I need you to give her Christian hospitality and help her and her business here and do it on my recommendation. So we see a third fact, and that is she was there in Rome on important business. There's no logical reason why Paul would commend Phoebe except that she was there on some important business. And many believe that she is the one who carried the epistle to the Romans to the city. It's very possible. In fact, I believe that Phoebe was a businesswoman. That she was traveling on business. Doesn't mention anything about her having a husband or kids, or just mentioning that she was there on business. And I think that she was a businesswoman, and Paul said, I need to send this to Rome, and Phoebe said, well, I'm going to Rome on business, and I'll go to the church there, and I'll carry it for you. That's very possible. We don't know that as canon fact. Okay? But it's very possible. Why else would Paul say, I commend you, Phoebe? Except that she was there on business and needed his commendation. Now, when I first thought of that, I thought, well, were women back in the first century, were they really involved in business in the Roman Empire? And in my study, I found that women in the Roman Empire were often very involved in business. They weren't involved in politics. They weren't allowed to vote. Although some of them pulled the strings in the background, but they weren't allowed to vote. It's about first century Rome. But nothing stopped them from being involved in business. They worked estates. They bought and sold. They ran businesses, storefronts. Some ran trade companies. They borrowed money. They lent money on their own name. They had the right to own property. And some owned shipping companies, trade companies. And we'll see in a moment that Phoebe apparently had some financial means which she used to support God's work and had apparently helped Paul at some time financially. She had no trouble traveling from Corinth to Rome. So I picture her as a Christian businesswoman who was going about her business there in Rome, helped the Apostle Paul, and came bearing the letter to the Romans. She was what I see about her character then is she was a woman of activity, a woman of industry, a woman who was trustworthy and responsible, who could be given this great privilege and great task of delivering an inspired original of the Word of God. And Paul had no trouble commending her work to the church. He said, give her assistance. She's there on some business. Help her with her business. She's been a helper of many, and I need you to help her. All right, the next thing we see about Phoebe. It says, she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Now, that's a strange word. That's not something you use in your daily conversation. It is in one of our hymns. And it is found here in the Word of God, and in fact, it's used several times in the Bible in the verb tense. The word succor means literally to run to support, to relieve or help when in difficulty, want, or distress. So to succor means to run to someone in a time of need and help them, to relieve them, and to give them assistance. The Greek word is prostatus, which literally means a patron, as in a patron of the arts or a supporter of the patron of the arts, what comes to mind is supporter of the arts. She was a patron of many. She was a supporter of many. She was one who ran to help and who did not shy away from difficulties, but rather through her great compassionate heart was someone who involved herself in the needs and problems of others to give them the assistance that they needed when they needed. Now, everyone's not that way. Y'all still with me? Are all the deaconesses with me? Some of us, when we see a person in difficulty, we do not run to help them. We say, ooh, I don't want to get involved in that, and we go the other direction. Phoebe was one, a prostatus, a patron, a succorer, who when she saw a need, her compassion compelled her to get involved and to help. Not just one or two, but many, Paul said. And Paul said, me also. She was one who, through her compassion and her desire to help others and to help the work of God, was one who ran to help. She was not afraid to get involved in helping others. At senior camp this last year, or junior camp, excuse me, at least twice, two separate pastors said, "You know, your wife helped my wife this week." I said, "That's just what she does. She just helps people. She reminds me of Phoebe." You know, as I was thinking about the ladies' retreat coming up in just 12 days, you know, my wife and I were at lunch at Olive Garden down in Garland. And the ladies' retreat had been going on for 25 years, but then the lady that had run it all those years, her husband retired, and so for a while they tried having different churches volunteer to do it, and then one year the church that was supposed to do it, the pastor had to be let go, and it kind of just fell apart and weren't going to have the meeting, and no one seemed to want to pick it up and take it and do it anymore because it is a lot of work and a lot of headaches and a lot of problems. And so Mrs. Raspberry is sitting at the dinner table and she says, "You know what, we really ought to have a ladies' retreat." I said, "Well, it's January. We're talking about having one in August. Normally it takes a whole 12 months to prepare for it." She said, "But I think I can do it because when I was a young wife, it really helped me. When I was a young mother, it always helped me." And she said, "We need something like that in this area where young wives and young mothers and older wives and mothers can come and get the help that they need." And we drove across the interstate to the hotel over there, and we thought about renting that facility, and then it turns out found a better facility at Camp Copus. But you know what? You know what I see in my wife's heart? She just has a desire. She's a pro status. She wants to help people. She doesn't shy away. She wants to be involved, and she wants to be a blessing. I can't tell you how many pastors' wives, especially younger pastors' wives, can call her or text her. And when they just need someone to talk to, when they're dealing with the loneliness in the ministry, or just need someone to be their friend, how often she is that person for them. So Phoebe, and by the way, I know a lot of ladies like that, and they're such a blessing. But Phoebe was a patron of God's business. She supported God's people. Paul said she's been a help to many, and of me also. Now, implied in the word succored is also that she was a financial help to the work of God. And what's implied in this is that she used her business and her money to promote the cause of Christ. No doubt she had helped the church of Centria. No doubt she had helped Paul and other missionaries in their work and had invested in them. And Paul was grateful for that. Now, have you ever wondered how Jesus and the 12 apostles supported themselves in their ministry? 3.5 years. Have you ever thought, let's go to Luke chapter 8. I'm going to show you in just a second how Jesus and his apostles were supported. Sometimes I think we have in our minds that, you know, Jesus just every day turned stones to bread and fed the disciples. And that every day some little boy showed up with his lunchbox and Jesus took 5 loaves and fishes and fed the disciples every day. That it was nothing but constant miracles of provision. But that's not how God works. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 1. "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him." Now 13 men is a lot of men. Amen. That's a lot to provide for. Notice it says, verse 2, "And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuzza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance." You see that? Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna. Now, the Bible doesn't say much about them. Joanna was the wife of Herod's steward. They might have been a family of means. But these ladies had been helped and their lives had been changed by Jesus Christ. And throughout His ministry, they ministered unto Him of their substance. They provided for and fed Jesus and His disciples as they traveled throughout Israel and as they did the work of God. They ministered unto Him of His substance. Sometimes we expect God to just do endless miracles in the church, endless miracles on the mission field. But what we need to realize is that God uses people like us to finance His work in this world. God doesn't turn stones to bread, but God gives Joanna bread and expects Joanna to use that for the glory of God. And God gives Mary bread and expects her to use that for the glory of God. And God gives Susanna bread and expects her to use that for the glory of God. And because our lives have been changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we ought to be glad patrons of the work of God, investing in the work, investing in God's people, investing in God's missionaries, investing in God's cause. So to summarize Phoebe's character, she was a servant of the church, a faithful, involved member, a patron, an assistant, a succorer, one who ran to help, one who supported the work of God and the people of God. And she was there on business, and Paul commended her and asked the church to give her assistance. Now, since we're in Romans 16, let me just say a few more words about Christian women serving the Lord in His churches. In Romans 16, we find many Christian women mentioned by the Apostle Paul. They are, for example, Phoebe. Well, I'll mention all of them. Phoebe, Priscilla, Mary, Tryphena, Tryphosa, Persis, Rufus' mother, who's not named, Julia, and Nero's sister, also not named. But that's nine. Roughly one third of all those who are mentioned in Romans 16 were godly Christian women. He called Phoebe a servant of the church. He called Priscilla my helper in Christ. In verse 6, he said, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. In verse 12, salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, that's also a female name, which labored much in the Lord. Verse 13, salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Now, was that Paul's biological mother? No. No, Paul didn't have a Gentile mother. But he said, she's like my mother. I have a dear lady in my life who's like that. And when I see her at camp, she's the only one that's allowed to hug me. Amen. And kiss me. And pat my head. Whatever else she wants to do. And she does. She's about this tall. She's from Columbia. And she'd come up, hello, my son, you know, and give me a big hug. And so, in the Lord's work, we have our brothers and our sisters and our mothers and our fathers, and it's a wonderful thing. And so these ladies were mentioned, and they were precious to the Apostle Paul. They were servants and helpers, and some labored much. And they loved and invested and cared about people, and they made a huge difference in the Lord's work. This should lay to rest the false idea that the Apostle Paul hated women, or that he was a misogynist. A misogynist, in case you don't know, is someone who strongly dislikes or is prejudiced against women. And people say that because they don't like what Paul wrote. But you better remember that Paul's not the one actually writing. He was inspired by the Holy Ghost to write the things that he wrote. Paul did not hate women. Paul didn't hate anybody but the devil. And but it's a common liberal tactic. If you don't like what someone believes, just give them a label and dismiss them. Paul did not hate women. He was not a misogynist. He had great respect for women. And among those who served in the shadows of his great ministry were many Christian women who didn't mind that they weren't pastors or deacons. They were just happy to serve Jesus with their lives. That should be what all of us are happy to do. I've heard people deride Christianity, biblical Christianity, as misogynist. I've heard people make ignorant statements all the time. It's amazing how arrogant people are when they're ignorant. I've had people say, well, you Christians, you just keep your women barefoot and pregnant. I used to joke back. I said, no, I like for my wife to wear shoes. No, but it's just an insult. And it's ignorant. It's ignorant. Christianity, real Christianity. Listen, I'm almost done. Christianity makes families better. Now, we're talking about in the real world, not TV, not books, the real world with real people. Christianity makes real families better. A lady who was once a member here, and she's since moved away, she got saved later in life, her late 40s. And she'd had a bad marriage that ended in divorce. She got saved, got into church, got her life cleaned up, and there was another man in the church, a little bit older than she was, and they ended up getting married. He was a godly man. And her kids were all grown by the time they got married. Her kids used to make fun of her husband for his strict Baptist religion, you know. And they'd make fun of him because of his faith and his beliefs. And she told me that she finally told them, she said, listen, don't knock it. Don't make fun of him. She said, you take away his faith and you take away all the good things about him. And she said, listen, I've lived with the other kind and I can tell you this is a lot better. She said. Now let me finish with this. Where would our churches be without godly serving ladies? I don't know where our church would be. I know one thing, that us men would have to do a lot more. The fact is that the most faithful, dedicated servants of the Lord I've ever known were godly Christian ladies. Many times serving behind the scenes, getting things done with great energy and great enthusiasm. I consider myself a hard worker. Sometimes my wife and my daughters, the way they just keep on going and the energy they show just makes me feel badly as I'm sitting in my recliner at the end of the day. Doesn't make me feel bad enough to get up, but it makes me feel. Serving in Sunday school, in the nursery, in children's church, choir, music, soul winning, secretarial work, cleaning, helping, ministering to the sick. All of us should have great respect for the godly women in our lives and in our church. May God increase their number. May God give us a lot of Phoebes, those who help many.